What is going on, guys? This is Sean from Lineup Logic. Hey, listen, before we get started today, I want to talk to you about supporting the show. Of course, you've heard me talk about it before, but patreon.com/lineuplogic, that is the absolute best way to support the show. We are an independent operation. It is just me. Any amount helps, $3, $5, $10, $15. You want to keep us on the air, help us support the show. And of course, the best option for your money, best bang for your buck, you're going to see anywhere from $60 to $30 to $29.99 a month for any of the services, DFS subscription services that say they're the best, that members are always cashing, lineup optimizers, whatever the case may be, fine. $15 a month. We're cheaper than providers. We're cheaper than most of the mainstream outlets. Every week, every day, you're going to get a slate breakdown with the cheat sheet, our core plays, cash games, GPPs, they're all in there. You're going to get access to our Slack community where guys are just talking, sharing lineups. Everything is there before lock. People are really, really sharp players. You're going to get access to our player rater. You're going to get access to our matchup statistics. You're going to get access to our big monster. And you get access to Fantasy 5x5, where you have every single research tool that you could possibly need for NBA DFS for $15. There is literally no better package on the market. I'm telling you, there's no better package on the market. $15 a month, you can support the show. Guys, you need to support the show. Please, if you're thinking about it, if you're on the fence, if you're like, you know what? I don't know if I need a subscription. $15 a month. It means a lot to us. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Now let's get into the show. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I am your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a Tuesday slate that is loaded with headline games. Loaded. Boston, Toronto, Golden State, OKC. It's just unbelievable. It's going to be a great night to watch basketball. So clear the decks, you know, order pizza, whatever you got to do to get yourself squared away to get to watch some hoops. But it is definitely worth it to sit down and watch some games. Hey, listen, good night last night for the community. A lot of guys did put up some big numbers in the lineup logic. So shout out to all those guys. Looking at their results in Slack, you know, listen, you're not going to see guys blasting the results on Twitter. It's just not what they do. I know that's the loudest way to do it, best way to do it for some people. It's not the way that a lot of the guys who are, you know, doing well on the lineup logic crew are doing it. Doesn't mean that people aren't scoring well. Donovan Mitchell, though. Oh, God. More sick than we thought, I guess, right? I mean, that's the only explanation. He's more sick than we thought, and Rodney Hood was more healthy than we thought. So that was the one dark spot on the slate. Everything else, the Bobby Portis, the Dwight Powell, it all worked out. It all worked out. But God, Donovan Mitchell. Listen, we have a great slate. Let's not waste any time. We're going to have a lot to talk about. Of course, I'm going to go through Vegas. I'm going to talk about the injuries. I'm going to talk about all the different things that you need to know, the different angles that you need to know about this slate. Then I'll go through the player breakdown. We'll try to build some lineup. We'll see what we can do. All right? Here we go. All right. First game of the night. Like I said, I believe it is a 7-game slate in total. Okay? 7-game slate in total. First game of the night is in Orlando. We have a 222 total here, and the Cavs are favored by 6, which is not acceptable. The Cavaliers should be favored by more than 6 points against the Magic, but of course that's just not the case. No key injuries except for, of course, the Aaron Gordon injury, which has kept him out. We've seen Mario Hezonja step in there at the 4 and play most of the minutes on that side of things. On the Cavs side, you know, the Kevin Love injury has basically created now Channing Frye, Tristan Thompson, 50-50 split. I don't really like either of these guys. You know, Tristan Thompson is not offensively minded, and he's not rebounding like he used to. So not that interested in him, but LeBron is at a reasonable price. Isaiah Thomas should be chalky. J.R. Smith is an interesting punt. Dwayne Wade is currently questionable now with an illness. If that happens, then my guess is that that second unit is going to get a lot of action from guys like, you know, you might see a little bit of Iman Shumpert. I don't know how healthy he is, but you may see a little bit of extra Jeff Green, which could be fun. Against the Magic, I could get into some Jeff Green. So we'll keep an eye on the Dwayne Wade situation. You might also just see more LeBron. Nothing else to, you know, Magic, we know who the Magic are. Unreliable, but there's definitely some interesting spots there. Rockets versus the Nets. This one is a 217 total, and the Rockets are favored by 11 on the road here. And really do think this is a blowout. I mean, if the Rockets are going to blow out the Cavs, now the Cavs have no self-respect and completely allow themselves to get destroyed in that game. But you have to think that this really isn't a contest as far as the way that the Rockets are playing. So you're going to hedge. You're going to be careful with your exposure to Rockets. I think it's absolutely an interesting spot for James Harden and Chris Paul. There's just the quality of basketball being played by the Rockets versus the Nets is just on another level. Clint Capella is definitely the one that I'm most interested in, and as well as Gerald Green. I mean, Gerald Green coming off the bench, doing a lot of scoring, although Eric Gordon should be back for this one, though. I don't know why they would rush him back, you know, especially against the Nets team. You know, so you may see him limited. I'm going to take a wait and see approach with Gordon. You saw plenty of good minutes for PJ Tucker. You saw plenty of good minutes for Gerald Green in that Cleveland game. You know, they finished it out, but without Trevor Ariza on the floor, those two guys are going to play a lot on the second unit. They're kind of playing side by side. So I'm interested in Gerald Green for sure, because he's just a raw scorer on the second unit against a bad team. And if it is a blowout, he'll play the whole fourth quarter down the stretch. He'll play those last 5-6 minutes. So you go from maybe 24 minutes of, you know, decent bench play to up to 30 minutes. So Gerald Green, very interesting to me as well in this spot, just kind of as a pivot, you know, go away from the core starters and get to some different spots. Moving over to the New York in the Garden, no total in this one, and that's because Giannis had the ankle on Sunday. He had the ankle against the Nets, but he is probable. He's been upgraded to probable. He should be fine. It's just a scare. It was just a little roll of the ankle. My guess is we're going to see a similar number to what we saw, 210 on Friday. And this game was tight. It was 92-90 or 98-96, something like that. It was very tight. Came down to the fourth quarter. Giannis put up a monster, 56, got exactly what he wanted, shot over 50% from the field, getting to the rim at will. Definitely a game that you think the Bucks can control and take advantage of, but they're on the road now. They're in the Garden against the Knicks, you know, who don't really have any injuries that we need to necessarily be concerned about. You know, nothing on their front unit or for, you know, starting unit that we need to be worried about. So you're going to see the same core guys rolling out there that we have seen. Kristaps in that game against Milwaukee, only 30 points. You know, he's kind of coming and going when he shows up. It's hard to tell. So Cantor had a nice game though, 35 against them. And obviously, you know, we've been attacking that center position there all year long. So we'll keep an eye on the Giannis news, but my guess is he's a full tilt go. You know, Chris Middleton is also very interesting, just the way that he's playing. Under the radar, sneaky, consistent, high floor. Really, really, really consistent with his floor. Moving over to Atlanta, we have Memphis going down there, 204 total, one of the lower totals on the night. Atlanta favored by two here at home. You know, the Memphis injuries have toned down a little bit, but, you know, the rotation has definitely been affected by the fact that you get a massive usage bump without Tyreek in the lineup. We've actually seen a big bump in scoring for Mark. He's been over 40 in in three of the last five, and started to show that he's taken on a little bit, you know, he's taken on some more minutes as well. You know, over 35 minutes in three of the last five, and, you know, and that correlates very well with his production. You know, we like this spot for him. He is priced up. I don't necessarily love the price. James Ennis has returned, by the way. Jarrell Martin is not getting the minutes that he was, so we're going to kind of push him out of the mind because Jamichael Green has returned as well. But it definitely seems like Dylan Brooks is a safe bet for 25 minutes. A lot of these guys are in developmental mode. They're going to get 25 plus minutes. Wayne Selden, though, seems to be the guy that they are really pushing at the two guard. I don't know. And Andrew Harrison at the point, you know, Andrew Harrison and Mario Chalmers behind him. They're definitely going with the guys that they have drafted, right? Which is, you know, the front office evaluating their guys that they drafted, not the guys they picked up, you know, not McLemore who they picked up, not Chalmers who they picked up, not Evans who they picked up. They're going with the guys that they drafted. They're trying to keep the pipeline of the guys that they believe in. So Harrison, Selden, Brooks, you know, Jamichael, those are the guys that they're going to want to keep around and see what they have in them. And those are the guys that are going to get the minutes down the stretch here. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. You love the matchup with Atlanta, but the problem is, you know, do you have a crystal ball and you can tell me who's going to get 30 minutes here and who's going to get the production? Because one night it could be Andrew Harrison. The next night it could be Dylan Brooks. Could be Wayne Selden, you know, and then Wayne Selden can be a total bust and you have him in 100% of your lineups against Detroit. I mean, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen, right? I mean, these things happen. On the Atlanta side of things, I don't know. I mean, I've been avoiding Atlanta for forever, and then all of a sudden, what happens? Torian Prince goes out and drops a 50-burger against Boston. Of all the teams that he could do this against, Boston? Are you kidding me? He had 4 points the other night. I don't really trust it. I'm not going to go there. It's impressive. Good for you. But that's it. I'm not touching it. Other than that, I have no interest in attacking. Even though you do attack Memphis in the backcourt. You know, you can attack them. You could attack them with Schroeder or Bazemore. But not for me. Not for me. Not touching it. Boston at Toronto. No total in this one. Still making sure, I believe, that Kyrie plays. I think he probably will. He's questionable with that quad injury, so who knows? You know, we're gonna have an interesting rotation here that's gonna come down to the minute. I mean, you know, down to the wire, trying to figure out who we're gonna play. Terry Rozier, if he goes, he's going to be chalky. But the reality is now he's priced up. And Toronto was not a great matchup. And we saw him against Portland slow down, regress, not shooting over 50% from the field. You know, not an easy smash spot like New York and Atlanta, bad defenses. This is a place where Terry could, you know, kind of settle down and we could realize he's a little bit overpriced. So I don't see him as a must-have. If Kyrie doesn't go, I just don't, you know, the minutes and the usage are there and the ceiling is there, but Toronto isn't really a ceiling matchup. It's not for backcourt players. So I think I'm okay staying off that. Marcus Morris is probable. He's probably going to play in this one. As much as I like this game on, you know, from a viewing perspective, I don't know how much I love it from a fantasy perspective. There's not a lot of easy angles to attack. I think it should be pretty tight. I think it could be relatively low scoring. We're not going to have a bunch of news. I just don't know how much I'm going to plan for it. But I do want to watch it. I do want to watch it. I think this could be a sneaky fun playoff preview. Washington at Philadelphia. This has been a game that, you know, should be very interesting. Philly favored by 6 at home, though. Wow. That's a big number. That's a big number for them in this situation. Of course, Washington are coming off the back-to-back. They dominated Indiana last night without Oladipo or Collison. Wasn't really a contest. Bradley Beal was very, very quiet. As you you know, kind of, I guess, I don't know, when you're leading by 10 or 15 the whole game, it kind of takes a lot of the pressure off of him. He doesn't have to go out there and dominate. You know, still played 36 minutes, which is just ridiculous, but wasn't doing the peripheral things. Wasn't doing the peripheral things that, you know, we normally expect of him. Otto Porter took a, you know, took a nice break. He only played 25, so clearly they had the back-to-back in mind for him, as well as Markieff Morris. You know, and Gortat even played less. Gortat with only 21 minutes there. So, you know, Beal seems to continue to be the best option in this situation. You can't ignore him against a team in the 76ers. They really can't guard the two. Should be a high-scoring game. Do you mind the back-to-back? Not particularly. I think Bradley Beal is the kind of guy who can get through that. Doesn't really concern me. On the 76ers side of things, no injuries. We're back to the full rotation. You know, what we've expected here with J.J. Redick back in the mix. So not anything that we're necessarily concerned about in that. And not a lot of value on this team. You know, not a ton. I mean, Joel Embiid is at a nice price tag, you know, but where do you want to attack Washington? There's not a ton of places. You attack him at the three, but Robert Covington has been anywhere between 14 and 37 fantasy points. But, you know, you'd like to say, like, well, wow, he has such a great ceiling. Yeah, he has a great ceiling. But he also has a floor that he's shown in three of the last five of being, you know, below 17 points. Like, I'm not touching. I can't play Bob Cove right now. He's just not shooting well, and it's just not – it's terrifying. So this game, another game like the Boston-Toronto game that I'm kind of like, okay, maybe some pieces here. Because you have a lot of other games that you're more interested in. Phoenix-LA, for example. This game has no total right now. Let me check that, though. Hold on, because there was that. That was a little while ago. Let me make sure that that doesn't have a total. Oh, yep, 220. 220 just got posted. 220 total here. Lakers are favored by 8. And why is that? Well, Devin Booker likely out. He is doubtful. He did not practice yesterday with a hip pointer. He's banged up, man. That poor kid is banged up. I would just, if I'm the Suns, I'm not rushing him back. I'm giving him some time. Let him take a break all the way through the All-Star break, man. Just rest. You are our favorite piece. That likely means we're going to get a huge bump for three people. I mean, Tyler Ulis, Josh Jackson, TJ Warren. All three of those guys are going to get a nice bump in this situation. So you have, you know, some value for sure. Josh Jackson's been playing at the two, really. They're just getting him on the floor because he's been good. He's been a good scorer for them. And he is 5,900 because he's had, you know, some serious scoring in the last couple games. TJ Warren plays really well. We know that TJ Warren played very well without Devin Booker on the floor. Tyler Ulis, listen, I don't know what to make of Tyler Ulis. We had some great games with him last year, but he can be really, really tilting and very, very difficult to project. You know, I mean, I don't know. Troy Daniels should get some run as well, but not as interested in him as I am in TJ Warren and possibly Josh Jackson. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with that. And maybe even a little, you know, in the front court here, Tyson Chandler could be interesting, but not a lot that I'm interested in on the Phoenix side, except for those obvious pieces. Moving over to the LA side now. There's some interesting things going on here. Josh Hart just killing it in the last two games, along with Julius Randle. So a really nice boost for all of these guys at home. If you're getting Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, those guys have been playing extremely well. So I think that I have some interest in them. You know, I don't know. Brandon Ingram versus TJ Warren. They're almost the exact same price. Who do you play? Probably TJ Warren just because of the usage bump, but I'm not completely confident in that because Ingram's at home and the Suns are just a terrible defense. You know, Julius Randle, though, now priced up 76 on FD and 68 on DK. He's definitely in play over there on DK. We'll talk a little bit more about some of these guys. But Josh Hart is definitely one that I'm interested in. He's just got a ceiling. And if he can get these 30 minutes, you have to kind of take a look at a 5K shooting guard who might get 30 minutes against the Suns. Like, that's interesting. Like, and much more offensively minded than a guy like KCP. But how do you project him for more than, you know, how do you project him for more than 25 minutes? I don't know that you can, because it's been so inconsistent. The range of outcomes is very, so he's probably GPP at best. All right, moving on. Headline game of the night. 230 point total here. Golden State hosting the Thunder. And we are, I'm looking at this line. I'm seeing Warriors minus 10 right now. Is that right? Warriors minus 9. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. It opened at minus 10. It's moving towards the Thunder, which I think is right. I mean, I would take them to cover this. I think 10 is a lot. 10 is a lot. I think this will be a little bit more competitive. Now, it would be far more competitive if Roberson was there. I think you would have seen a little bit of a lower total, and you would have seen a tighter spread if Roberson was there. But obviously, Golden State at home, the form that they're in, 100% healthy, you have to like them in this spot. You know, everybody is interesting. We'll talk about Steph. We'll talk about KD. Klay, very much in play. Very much in play, and I think this could be an interesting Klay-Dre spot, which is that when they're at home in these high-total games, that's when I like my Klay and Dre exposure. On the Thunder side of things, you know, Russ. I mean, it's that simple. Russ, you know, and we'll talk about him for sure. But you could get some Paul George or Steven Adams as well. I think they're very much in play. It's going to be a great game to watch. So, you know, us East Coasters are going to drink a little coffee, get right. All right, let's go ahead and get into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, let's stop at the start at the top of the slate here. And there are so many studs, and they are all so tightly priced that it is going to really, 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 really be interesting to see how people assemble. It's going to be all a matter of personal preference, because you have just amazing opportunities with all of them. That it's really, really, you know, it's hard. And if you can't really find a way to differentiate. I honestly think the way to approach all of these guys, and the reason I'm saying this, if you've looked at the slate, Westbrook is 11-8, okay? Westbrook is 11-8. Harden is 11-2. LeBron, 11-5. KD, 10-7. Giannis, 11-5. So you have all of these guys in a very tight-knit range. I think the way to do it is to say, okay, who has a floor of 50? Who do I know can get this done? And then build the rest of your lineup and say, I'll save that 11K spot for shooting guard, point guard, small forward. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where I'm going to put him in, you know, because they're somewhat interchangeable. Now, is it going to be perfectly projectable to see, you know, who does the best? Who do I think I like the best? I think I have my opinions personally. And you know, you have prices that you can, you know, save $500-$600. That's helpful when you're picking out value guys, right? So that kind of stuff can come into play as well. So let's go ahead and let's go through it. You know, I'll start with Russ, because why wouldn't you start with Russ? And I think he's going to be one of the most popular, and I have no problem taking Russ in the highest total game of the night, the most competitive, you know, game that he's seen in a while. He's 11-8 on FanDuel, 11-5 on DK. Of course, we know he's been averaging 55 a game. He's above 1.5 fantasy points per minute. You know, Golden State is not a great matchup. Average at best against the point guard, below average in a lot of matchup metrics. It's not really what you're going there for. What you're going for is pace, high total, headline game. He had 65 in this spot earlier this year. Okay, if you can set Russ's floor at 60 in one of these games like this, as long as it's not a blowout, which you can, I think, or he plays terribly, I think you have to consider him your number one option, at least the safest option. And so I have no problem saying, you know, I like Russell Westbrook to be the safest option here against Golden State. He hasn't scored fewer than 43 points in the last month. So that's the floor, 45. You had the total, you had the pace, the recent form has been excellent. I don't really know how to necessarily analyze the matchup. Steph Curry is a phenomenal defender. Except to say that Russ in these games shows up. He's rested. This is an important game for them. It's going to be one of the highest scoring of the night. That's it. That's all I got. And I think that Russ is one of the safest investments that you can make. So that's where I got with that. You also have Chris Paul. And Chris Paul versus Brooklyn. Now, listen, they allow one of the third most efficient, they're the third best matchups as far as efficiency to the backcourt, second best point guard matchup on the slate. They've allowed some monstrous games to the position. High total, high pace, blowout is definitely a possibility. The range of outcomes, though, for him is very, very wide. It's unlike Russell Westbrook in that you have a very tight range of outcomes. You have a very wide range of outcomes from anywhere between 0.6 fantasy points per minute to 1.8 fantasy points per minute for Chris in the last five, anywhere between 19 to 56 fantasy points. I would probably put him somewhere in the 35 to 45 range here against Brooklyn. One thing to remember about, you know, that Cleveland game was he just started lighting it up. He just started scoring like crazy. Harden didn't really have to do much because he was just hot. Right? That's why he was so, that's why that game had, you know, and no one was guarding him. But, you know, Harden, everybody healthy, Brooklyn, you know, we saw the same thing against Phoenix. And what happened? He goes out and he scores 26. That's a problem. Like, do you want that in your lineup? So as appealing as his price is, you know, he's 9.6, I think, on FanDuel. Yeah, 9.6 on FanDuel, 9.7 on DK. That worries me a little bit. Now, Steph, 9.7, 9.6 on DK. He is very interesting. I think I would much prefer Steph to Chris Paul, even though the matchup isn't necessarily quite as good. He's at home. He's in the highest total of the night. He's, a, you know, obviously we know the minutes are going to be there. We know the floor for him is a little bit higher, I would say. The blowout risk is lower, right? And in that respect, I think you're probably going to get a better outcome from Steph Curry. But do I think you're going to get over 45, nearly 50, which is what you want at 9-7? I don't know if you are, because he really hasn't been putting that number up. Especially in the last two games, he hasn't been putting that number up. It's been very interesting. I mean, he went bananas in early January, but he's cooled off significantly. Last three isn't broken 40. Usage, scoring, it's all consistent, but it's just the peripherals. Peripherals haven't been there in the last couple games. Minutes have been fluctuating as they, you know, are beating teams. I don't know. I mean, he had 36 in this game last time. Why? Well, the whole team played poorly. Whole team played poorly. Not one. I mean, Kevin Durant, Steph and Draymond, none of them broke 40 in that game. So can't really look at it as use, or excuse me, a spot, you know, Oklahoma City in general held them to 91 points, which just means the Warriors played bad. But they're projected for 30 more points than that tonight, 120 Vegas has them at. You know, you have to think that Vegas isn't going to set their number, their team total at 120 unless they feel like they can outscore what they did earlier this year at 91. And remember, no Roberson changes this game completely. It really does. And I think that you have a guy like Roberson capable of getting on and getting up into Steph and bothering him when he's on the floor, you know, switching everything with Paul George and Russ. That makes a big difference. So I don't mind Steph in this situation. And I think compare him to Chris Paul, he's probably a little bit preferable for the floor. But I do think that, you know, there is a ceiling with Chris Paul there that, you know, if he drops 55, don't come crying to me, because it's definitely possible against Brooklyn. James Harden versus Brooklyn, 11-2 on FanDuel, you know, and 11-5, I believe, on DraftKings. Yeah, 11-6 on DraftKings versus Brooklyn. He's averaged 55. He's been over 1.5 fantasy points per minute. He's got the same metrics, basically, as Russell Westbrook as far as just on paper where they are at. But he's a double-digit favorite against one of the worst basketball teams in the NBA. The problem that I have with Brooklyn isn't so much their defense. Their defense has been mediocre. It's their offense. It's been bad. Like, I watched that game against the Lakers. That was one of the sloppiest, that was a terrible basketball game. Brooklyn versus LA, like, it was bad. If you weren't consistently watching the Lakers or the Nets, like, you turn them on and you see a very sloppy style of basketball. I mean, okay, it's fine. It's pace driven. They're all young. Fine. I get it. I'm not going to necessarily go out and criticize these kids because they're young guys. But it's not good basketball. It's not like you were watching, you know, you're not watching Rockets Thunder right there. You know, you're not watching Toronto Boston right there, where every single possession is well orchestrated. You have guys who know exactly what they're doing. They're making decisions based on, you know, reacting to the opponent. They're just going. And I worry about Brooklyn in this situation. I do. I really do. A double-digit favorite, though. Harden averaged 55 FanDuel points in that trend with a floor of 40. He has plenty of games well above 55. What do you see? I don't know. I could definitely see 55 easy. If Brooklyn stays in this, easy. And the nice thing is D'Angelo Russell is there. He's healthy. He's going to play. He's a scoring threat. If you need points, it's Russell. He's going to score. Hopefully he can score. If Russell can keep them in this, then I see Harden at 55 points. How do you project D'Angelo Russell, though? You know, Harden has averaged 1.59 fantasy points per minute, 36 and 10. And the assist numbers have just been phenomenal. Three of the last five, he's had double-digit assists. He's just like, you know, he's just on a tear. So no question, James Harden very much in play. Brad Beal versus Philadelphia. Do not forget this man. He's 9K. He let everybody down last night. But there's no reason he doesn't go out and score 30. 40 tonight. 8-9 on DK. 36 minutes is a lock. 35 fantasy points has been the floor. He's over 1 point, you know, one fantasy point per minute in the season. Philadelphia has been bottom of the barrel and defensive real plus minus to the position for you know, basically the entire season in DVP, everything. And even though Beal had a bad game last night against Indiana, I don't necessarily worry about it because he just wasn't getting the peripherals, right? No steals, no blocks, one rebound. Well, one of the things that we were getting from him early at 21 points, that's fine. 21 points is perfectly fine. I mean, he had 21 points against the Thunder and he put up 47. It's because he didn't have any peripherals that it's a problem. And that's just not that's not something necessarily that you project to be consistent. I think you could comfortably say that he gets more peripherals. He had 21 points in this game against the 76ers earlier this year. And that was the second time. And the season opener when they played him, he had 48 fantasy points. It's there. You know, it's definitely there. How much do you worry about the back-to-back? Let me see. Fantasy 5x5 back-to-back warning tool. It's a one-point penalty for him. It's a one-point penalty, that trend. So that's not too bad. Not too worried about that. That is... Yeah, by the way, James Harden... Okay, this is where I love Fantasy 5x5. $15, by the way. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. You get our cheat sheet, our Slack, our models, and Fantasy 5x5. Tell me there's just not a fucking better value, man. Everything is at least 2 to 4 times as expensive. 2 to 4 times as expensive. Why are you going to pay for that? It's the same exact stuff. It's better. Because it's all we care about is NBA. All right, anyway, rematch boosts. Yeah, Harden had 69, nice, against the Nets earlier this year, and Russ had the 65. Giannis has a nice rematch boost. Ben Simmons has a nice rematch boost. He's interesting. And Paul George has a nice rematch boost. Those are the top at the rematch boosts. And Dennis Schroeder. What up, Dennis Schroeder? So that's where you're at with the rematch boosts over at Fantasy 5x5. You don't have to look through game logs, by the way, to figure out on NBA.com how much guys scored. LeBron versus Orlando. It's Orlando. They suck. LeBron has to win this game. They've been terrible. They get embarrassed at home against Houston on national television. He doesn't even play down the stretch because it's so bad. He's averaged 47 in the last five. It's a drop from a season average of 52. And we said this. Lately, he hasn't been himself. Ever since IT came on the floor, he hasn't been himself. He's not touching the ball as much. The usage is down. You compare his numbers to his season averages, it's just not there. And I think, honestly, if this season is a disaster, I think it's because the IT trade was a disaster. You're just not ready to do that kind of thing. I have no way. What else were you going to do, though? You know, he's at 1.2 fantasy points per minute on the season. He was at 1.4. Ugh. But it's the magic. He put up 76 against this team earlier this year in the beginning of January. Now, he went out the other time and put up 28. You know, they still won the game by, remember, on the last play, okay? But everything is kind of wonky for Braun right now, especially in the scoring. It's the scoring that's down. He's down, you know, almost 7 points as far as just raw scoring. So I don't necessarily know how you don't, you know, hate that. But it should be the case tonight that he hits his averages. He set him at a 50-point floor. He's 11-5 on FanDuel. It just feels like such a great, I mean, as bad as his team is, they're going to leave Orlando in it. I don't see a blowout. They haven't blown anybody out. There's only 6-point spread. Okay. 11-4 on DK. Small forward is always a disaster. So you take your 50 from Braun and you figure out how to get one of those other guys in your lineup, right? That's how I would approach it. You know, second worst in defensive efficiency, Orlando. The floor is 40 points. I think that LeBron is very much in play. KD versus OKC, though, 10-7 on FanDuel, 9-8 on DraftKings. Like, come on. Let's find a way to get him in our lineups, please. This is a big game. Even though Paul George is a great defender, 9-7 feels like a light price tag for Kevin Durant in the highest total game of the night at home in a, you know, conference matchup is a big deal. Yeah, come on. He only had 32 in the last game, but he's averaged 45 over the last five on the season. He's averaging 25, 6, and 5. Small forward is a rough spot. Second worst matchup on the slate. Paul George is a great defender, but that doesn't mean Kevin Durant can't get to him. I mean, matchup metrics don't really matter with the Warriors. I just want to be very clear about this. Projections are very hard to do with the Warriors because they're so good. You want them in the more competitive games, you know, like Steph versus Boston is the best backcourt defense in the league. What did Steph do? He went out and put up a season high of fantasy points. You know, I mean, that's what you're dealing with. The Warriors don't fit the model that we use for the rest of the league. You set a different rule for the Warriors. High totals, competitive games, lots of minutes. That's what you want. You have to bring out playoff Warriors in order to get a high-quality fantasy yield from them. And this could definitely bring out playoff KD. In the last four, without Roberson on the perimeter, things have changed, okay? He makes things way, way, way harder for everybody out there. Small forward, shooting guards, whatever. Point guards, he's always out there switching everything. They've allowed four straight games with 30 to the position. And not good players. Mediocre guys. So it's a trend that's going in the wrong direction for the Thunder. I like KD in this spot, especially on DraftKings. Giannis versus the Knicks. He had 58 last week. 29, 11, and 2 with 3 steals and 2 blocks. I love it. It was a tight game. The ankle seems fine. It's not a big deal. They weren't worried about it yesterday. They upgraded him to probable at the end of the day. That's a good sign. You know, he rolled it, but he's okay. You're going to roll your ankle sometimes when you're a basketball player. They're allowing huge games to the 3 and the 4. 14 total big games to that spot. Big game tracker over there on 5x5 is telling us that. That's where you want to attack them. It's the best matchup on the slate behind Orlando and Atlanta. And people, you know what? What are you going to do? You're going to take that 11K and you're probably going to spend it on Braun versus... He was under-owned. Let's just be very clear about this. Against the Knicks, he was under-owned. I had him. He was well under-owned. He played phenomenally well. He is 11-5 on FanDuel, 11K on DraftKings. He's averaged 53 in the last five. He struggled in that Brooklyn game because they pulled him after the ankle. But that's the only one that you look at where you see a struggle. I like it. I like it. I think it's different. I think it's different. Moving over to the power forward position. We don't really have anything. I got to be honest with you. At power forward, we don't really have anything. So let's take a look at center. Joel Embiid versus Washington. He's fallen into a very consistent pattern. He's much more projectable now. It's very nice. He's about 45 fantasy points, 24 and 11. 3 with 2 blocks per game, 3 assists, 2 blocks. That's nice. I mean, it's nice to be able to say, okay, Joel Embiid, where are you going to be? Going to be about 1.3 fantasy points per minute. This is a game at home. He gets a nice boost for being at home. He played the back-to-back, but he got a day off, or 2 days off. Sunday, Monday, they were off. I think this is a good spot. He had 59 against the Wizards last time out. But like I said, I mean, he's slowed down. You know, his role has stepped back, and I don't know if that's just the rigmarole of the season. It's just energy, or if it's just finding his groove with Simmons. Him and Simmons have slowed things down a little bit. They're much more consistent. They have a much more clear floor. You know, the Simmons floor is about 30. The Joel Embiid floor is about 40. So you take that. There's no reason that you don't like this spot against them. You know, on paper, the Wiz is an average matchup, but Gortat has been blown up in some spots, and we know this. Like, he's not a guy that you're scared of. There's some centers that you're like, oh, I don't know. We've seen some numbers, but I don't really trust the numbers. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, Steven Adams is one of those guys. Like, every once in a while, you see somebody get over on Steven Adams, and you're like, huh, well, how do you make that? What do you make of that? But when somebody gets over on Gortat, you're not. That doesn't worry me. Doesn't worry me at all. I mean, he gave up 49 to Dwight Howard, 58 to Drummond, 32 on the nose to Steven Adams. I feel like you take a guy's projection and you can really nail it down very comfortably, especially if he's a talented center. You feel very comfortable nailing down a number for a guy against Gortat. Like, he's going to give you his, basically, that guy's averages. So I would say JoJo, 45. Easy, right? That's where I'm at with Joel Embiid. And I think he's different. Like, it's a good way to be different. People aren't going to prioritize him, especially in cash games. So, you know, if you can find the money for him, if you love the rest of your lineup, I don't think it's a crazy idea. Moving on to the Grouts. I don't know. I mean, it's not nearly as nice as the studs, okay? I'm stars and scrubs tonight, I think. But the scrubs aren't there, unless we get news. Like, the scrubs aren't there. At the point guard position, I think, you know, a couple things. One, Isaiah Thomas, obviously, 6'5 on FanDuel, 6'2 on DraftKings. I don't really like this guy. I don't think he fits the Cavaliers. He's been shooting really, really problems. He's a really bad efficiency issue. But this is the nuts matchup. He had 22 at one point, 34 in the other. You know he's going to be out there for probably close to 28 minutes would be my guess. He's been averaging, you know, about 28 minutes, which isn't great, you know, considering that you're going to be able to get, you know, well over that for a lot of guys, you know, that you're investing in. But you love the matchup. We've seen this Magic matchup. It's the best point guard matchup on the slate. Literally one of the best backcourt matchups on the slate. No doubt about it. Besides the Lakers. But we just don't know who's playing point guard for the Lakers. So to be clear about that, I don't know. People are going to love it. And they're going to have him because he has a ceiling. At some point, he's going to score 40 and everybody's going to be like, yeah, he's back. And ignore the fact that the larger sample size tells us that he is not healthy. And this is part of the problem, not the solution. Elf versus Cleveland on the opposite side. You can't trust him either, but the matchup is there. The ceiling is there. The outcomes in the last month between 14 and 45. Listen, I have no idea what you're going to get against him in the Cavs, but the last two, he's been over 32 fantasy points. That's come with very good minutes. The problem is that the minutes in the last five have been a problem, okay? So he's wildly unpredictable, but he has a massive ceiling. He's only averaged 23 minutes. But in both of those games against the Cavaliers, he played over 30 minutes and he had over 30 fantasy points. Do you trust him? That's what you're doing. I mean, he's a tournament play at best. I think the guy in this range that I feel safest with, to be completely honest with you, is Kyle Lowry. Like, Kyle Lowry in a big game against the Celtics, like, I have zero issue with Kyle Lowry in this spot at 7K. Like, if I'm going to end up with someone on, you know, a mid-range point guard that I feel like I want to trust, I'm going to go to Lowry in this situation at 7K. I have zero problem with that. The floor has been 30 points. Now, listen, it's hard to project what you're going to get from the point guard, but they have not faced a ton of very good point guards recently. Without Smart in the lineup, you know, he went down. You've given up a very, very wide range of outcomes here. Steph went for 60. Jamal Murray had 30. Jarrett Jack had 10. So that'll throw your averages off a little bit. Schroeder had 26. That's a little bit disappointing. Damian Lillard had 42. So what do you think about a guy like Kyle? I mean, it's Kyle Lowry. Like, he is so capable of putting up 40 in this spot and dominating this game and you know, not dominating the game, but putting up 30 points. Like, very, very, very much. He just did it against Washington. And all of a sudden, you have a 52-point player who drops, you know, the price drops way down because he struggled against Memphis. And he only played 25 minutes there. He's going to play over 30 minutes in this game. Okay, he's been getting nice and easy minutes in the last two. Perhaps he's tired, perhaps he's a little banged up. But I think we have a floor of 30 points here. And for Kyle Lowry at 7K, floor of 30, I think he's one of the safer options. He's like Damian Lillard last night. You're like, this is just a little bit too cheap. This is probably $500 cheaper than it should be. And you feel good about that, right? You feel good about that. At the shooting guard position, listen, there's not a ton that I love, but I talked to you guys about Chris Middleton. I love Chris Middleton, 7'5", 7'6", on DK. He has been just so consistent. 35 fantasy points on the nose, a fantasy point per minute, 36 minutes. There's no reason to doubt the quality of player that Chris Middleton is. Just the season that he is having last year was kind of in question. Now, in the last two games, he struggled. He struggled against the Knicks. But why? Well, against the Knicks, he struggled because he shot 3 of 11 from the floor, and he just stopped shooting, okay? But that's just not the case. Like, that's not going to be the case all the time. They won both of those games. You know, I think you could definitely see a much better outcome for Middleton so long as the usage is there. He was much closer to 30% usage when he was on that very consistent tear at the end of January. If he doesn't take the shots, then we have a problem. So I think that there is, you know, the one counter to the quality player argument is that he just may not shoot the ball, which is fucking obnoxious, right? You get that from these wings sometimes. Sometimes they just, you know, D up and they say, well, shot's not falling, I'm just going to D up tonight. That's a pain in the ass, right? It's a pain in the ass. But I do like him here. I mentioned Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, for me, might be a guy, the way that I try to get exposure to this game. I love him in this spot. This is a game where I like to go Klay and Dre, 67 on FD, 63 on DK. He's the kind of guy who, he has a ceiling, and the shooting guard versus the Thunder has been a problem. And when you have one spot on the floor that you can exploit, you better believe they're going to exploit it. Okay, it's been plus 8% above average in the last 10. Roberson goes down in the Detroit game, and we've seen a 47-point outing from Brad Beal, a 33-point outing from Gary Harris, Drew Holiday put up 33, and KCP put up 25. You're right on target. You're a little bit above average. So where do we put Klay? We put him at 30, 35. Something like that. I think this is an interesting spot to attack Klay. And then there's some value guys. There's some value guys that you can definitely get into. You know, some of the cheaper ones. Josh Jackson, Kent Bazemore. I don't know. I don't know how much I want to go there. I'm not sure. All right, let's talk through the middle tier of small forward. It's hard to ignore what Paul George did last time out. He put a 51 against his team. Now, he he's going to have big games. And at 8K, if he puts up 51, he's going to break the slate. And so people are going to prioritize him. He's one of those mid-range type guys with a ceiling. You want those mid-range guys with ceilings. He's definitely one of them. A prime target. He's been very good in very good form in the last five games. He's averaging 40 points over the last five, over a fantasy point per minute. The 36 minutes, they're going to be there. He's going to be on the floor. They're going to need his scoring. He's absolutely there. Now, is he going to be the default? No, because I think people are going to have interest in LeBron. And I think it's going to be hard to fit LeBron and Paul George into your lineup and justify that. I do think it's interesting then you go down to guys like Brandon Ingram and TJ Warren, who are both right there, 6,900, 6,800, respectively, very similar prices on DraftKings, 69 and 67, which I think makes them slightly better values on FanDuel, to be honest with you. Both 33 minutes, okay, both averaging about 30 fantasy points per game. But Ingram has been in better form of late. And one of the things that's interesting about Ingram is he's actually been running the point, which is really, really interesting. He's been handling the ball, let's say that. Not on every possession, but he's been a ball handler. They kind of have this, like, you know, multi-positioning. He's been about a fantasy point per minute in three games against the Suns this year. He's averaged 30, well, he's had three outings against the Suns, 32, 34, and 14. I don't know why we have a 14, but that's just Brandon Ingram. But he's been playing a lot better of late. I think he and TJ trade buckets this game. I think that they definitely could both have above 30. And TJ Warren, without Booker on the floor, he's averaged 42 per 36 minutes. You know, that's a great number, and you're going to have the usage. It's easily one of the best spots on the slate. The, you know, the high total, the matchup, the usage bump, it's yielded a number of big games. Warren put up 39, 42, and 32 this year. So who do you trust to have the bigger game, Warren or Ingram? I don't know. Maybe you play both. I think there's an argument to saying you play both in this game. I think it's unique. I think it's unique. Moving over to power forward, I like Draymond. This is a game where I said, you know, I keep saying Clay and Dre. I like Draymond in this spot. I really like Draymond in this spot at AK 7-4 on DraftKings, too cheap. Get him in there. Find a spot for him. 32 minutes, obviously. You know, we know he's been about 36 fantasy points per game on the season. You know, flirting closer to 30 in the last couple. But 1.1 fantasy points per minute. And here's what I like, okay? This is the split. At home against a good team, okay, with a tight spread, he's averaged 46 fantasy points. Now, this spread isn't as tight as I would like it, right? That spread that I set it at, it was like between, I think, 4 and 7 points, you know, to find that split. But basically what you're getting is you're getting big game Draymond. And big game Draymond is totally different than everyday Draymond. And that's why you like him here. He had 30 points last time out, but 30 points is very much the floor. And at 8K, you have a lot of profit potential for that price. Now, if he was anywhere below 8K, the entire industry would be talking about it. I think 8K is just the right price that he might be pushing people away. Just the right price. He might be pushing people away. I like 8K quite a bit. I'm interested. I think it's a great price to get him in your lineup. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's hard to analyze. You know, the power forward has been a spot that you can exploit against this team, too. I mean, Carmelo, not necessarily, you know, great. The numbers on the season say that this is absolutely where you want to attack them. And, you know, we've seen some good games. Above average scoring in the last 10, plus 5, you know, plus 5% above, you know, average that they've yielded. Markieff Morris had a nice 36-point game. You know, Julius Randle had 34. So, I mean, if you're looking at these guys who we expect are kind of, you know, diet Draymonds, you know, Markieff definitely a diet Draymond. You like this spot for him. You like this spot. I think it's one of those, you know, good ways to finish out the night type things, having a lot of exposure to this game. And I want exposure to Julius Randle, too. I mean, he's just been excellent. He's been playing a ton of minutes, you know, and he's listed on DraftKings. He's listed, you know, at both positions. And at 6,800 on DraftKings at power forward center, you love that. I think that that is absolutely a spot that you want to get into your lineup, no doubt about it. But he's at center on FanDuel, which is annoying because he was power forward, and if he was power forward, I would love him. But he's been playing a ton of minutes. He's been playing really well. He seems to have Walton's trust at the four. He seems to be, you know, a core piece of this offense right now, which is interesting because earlier in the year they were talking about whether or not they're going to need this guy. Should they move him? Should they try to get rid of him? No, I think you know, Kuzma is inconsistent and Randall is a much better interior presence. He's learning to play a little bit more, you know, as a big, as a four in this league. So I like this spot for Julius Randle as well. Obviously, against the Suns, you love that. I think he's much more manageable on DraftKings. 6,800, multi-position eligibility. Boom. That's, you like that, right? At center, Marc Gasol versus Atlanta pops as far as the metrics go, but then you look at his price and you go, oh, fuck that. No, 8,900 for him. No, I mean, he's been good. He's had almost 40, over 40, almost all the last five games, but I can't do it. So I'm going to go down to a guy like Clint Capella. I love this spot for Clint Capella. If there's a guy who has profit potential on his price, it's Clint Capella, 7,800, 75 on DK. It's marked as one of the best spots by Fantasy 5x5. They've allowed some of the biggest games to the position. Speaking of Julius Randle, big game to him. So Capella is a guy that I love to have in my lineups. Now, you know, he's been very consistent of late. Is there a possibility that he, you know, gets his minutes reduced? Yeah, there is. I mean, you really want a situation where there's no Nene, because in a blowout spot, they really only play him 25 games. But the floor is very much 30 fantasy points for him. You know, in the last three, he's had 40, 48, and 30. Now, two before that, he struggled against Phoenix and New Orleans. But of course, that Phoenix game was just an absolute disaster. So if you have blowout situations, he's going to probably struggle, or he's going to be part of the blowout. Okay? You know, so you have to consider this is a good spot for Capella. He put up 35 against them last time. Okay? Across 28 minutes. That's the thing about this guy is he can be a 1.4 fantasy point per minute type guy, and you don't get a lot of minutes, but if you get 30 minutes from him, this game stays a little bit closer, you get 30 minutes from Clint Capella, you're going to get a really, really good result. And that's always what you're worried about, is just the minutes. But if you get the minutes, it's going to be great. I think the other guys that you could be interested in this price range, Steven Adams. I always talk about Steven Adams. Sean, why do you always talk about Steven Adams? Why wouldn't I talk about a guy that's, you know, very consistent in a great matchup, who's always going to play more than 32 minutes? I mean, you know, all four of the last five, he's been over 30 fantasy points to over 35 fantasy points. He's averaged 34 in the last five, but he's got a nice ceiling of 40. You know, I love it. I love Steven Adams. I love the floor. I love the consistency. He had 30 against this team last time out in 37 minutes. They need him as a rim protector. He's going to play a ton. The minutes are just a pathway to production and floor. You feel comfortable. You know you're going to get a fantasy point for a minute for him. There's safety. There's security in Steven Adams. I always love it. Now, Enes Kanter, very similar. 6,900 here. I like him in this spot against Milwaukee. We've been attacking them at the center all year long. Now, it hasn't been nearly as good of late. I think Prunty is starting to figure out how do you make this not quite as bad of a trend. And in the last couple games, in fact, since Prunty came on the 22nd, it hasn't been as good. But Kanter had a nice game against them. He had 35. So his price is nice. He just had a really nice matchup against them. He's been an aggressive rebounder all year long. You love the rebounding floor that he gives you. And you like the price. So I think he's the kind of guy that if he falls to you, he's kind of the last piece. If he falls to you, then you're good with it. You're good with it in that situation. That's it. I would love to tell you Bismack Biyombo is a good play, but 18 minutes of Bismack is not a good idea. But that's not a good idea. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Let's go over to the bargain basement here, where we are looking for guys who are 5'5 and below on FanDuel. Use FanDuel pricing just because I think sometimes it's a little bit more aggressive than DraftKings pricing. You're usually going to see a cheaper price on DraftKings than you are on FanDuel. Tyler Ulis will probably pop in a lot of models today. 3,700 against the Lakers. Of course, it's a good spot. How many minutes is he going to get? How much do you trust him? I have no idea. I can't necessarily recommend that. I don't mind Andrew Harrison at 5,400, and I don't mind Tomas Satoransky. Satoransky has been good. It's not a perfect matchup, but he's been fine. Those two guys are fine options. They're not good options. They're fine options. That's it. There's not a lot of value on the slate unless we get last-minute injuries. There's not a lot, guys. I'm telling you. At shooting guard, you are looking at, you know, some nice guys in the Lakers, like the KCP at 5'3", Josh Hart at 5K. I think there's going to be some interest in them. I don't know who scores more. I don't know if Josh Hart gets the minutes. If Josh Hart gets the minutes, like, he's just a lock button. I love that play. J.R. Smith against Orlando, 4,100. I think you feel comfortable with him in this situation. He's been shooting a lot more. He's been making a point of shooting a lot more. If Dwayne Wade is out, I think that offers, you know, offers a nice bump to him as well, just from a minutes perspective. You know, he only scored 11 points against them the first time. So, what do you do with that, you know? What do you do with that? Sterling Brown continues to get run for the Bucks on the second unit, 20 minutes for him. He's been productive offensively. Wayne Selden right now has a knee. If he doesn't go, I think that that's going to open up some value potentially. We'll keep an eye on that. I didn't know this. I didn't notice that as in the beginning of the show. Sorry about that. That's it. I mean, you could do Eric Gordon against the, you know, I guess you could do Eric Gordon. You could do D'Angelo Russell if you're really in tournaments. But he's an inefficient scorer who probably gets 22 minutes, you know. How exciting is that? The one guy that I will say I have a little bit of trust in is Dwayne Wade. 5,800, though, is a little bit pricey for a guy who's sick and might get 22 minutes. So that's a little bit of a concern. There's a little bit of a concern there. Moving over to the small forward position, you may be able to find some value here. Josh Jackson at 5,900 is not bad. DeMar Carroll at 5,300 is interesting. You know, he hasn't really popped lately, I have to be honest with you. And he absolutely tanked some people's lineups on Friday when he, you know, against the Lakers. But the 30 minutes at 5'3 is not bad. Mario Hezonja, very interesting, as well as Gerald Green. Those are two guys, as well as Jonathan Simmons. Hezonja and Simmons, I think, have the best argument for what they offer, although Simmons has only been playing about 25 minutes because you're getting a lot more developmental stuff, but he played 35 against Cleveland last time out and scored 32 fantasy points. That is definitely, there's definitely some possibility with that price tag. Hezonja, similarly, 5K. He scored really well against a Miami defense. It's very good. He's been playing well. The floor is there for Hezonja. If he gets 25 minutes, he's going to get you 25 fantasy points. So I think he's very, very interesting. Dylan Brooks, if we get some injuries in this Memphis lineup, this is a guy that I want to attack the small forward against Atlanta, no doubt about it. And Brooks has been good. He can absolutely outperform that price tag at 4,200. It's just how many minutes? I mean, we've seen anywhere between 26 to 39 minutes in the last five games. You know, how much run are you going to get? If you get the run from him, he's good. He's great. You get the run and you get the peripherals, he's been great. But how many minutes are you going to get from him? I'm not completely sure. So we'll keep our eye on the Memphis situation. Brooks would be one of the first guys that I go to if we have some injuries there. At the power forward, seeing Kyle Kuzma at 4,300 and Larry Nance at 45, you immediately perk up because you know they have ceilings. They're just not getting any run. Serge Ibaka at 4,800 is very interesting, but he's been really bad. And he's a guy that, you know, he just slows down as the season goes along. And they have a lot of people in that front court. I can't really go anywhere else. I don't know how comfortable I am with, you know, I mean, I guess Dragon Bender, if we get this suspension for Marquise Chris, I guess you could go to Dragon Bender. He's shown a little bit more pop lately. It's all very tilting, you know, Quincy Acey, I guess, he's probably 20 minutes at 3,900. He's been fine. He's been fine. But that's it. You know, I don't know what else is here, guys. There's not a lot of value on the slate unless we get scratches. At the center position, you know, I mentioned Tyson Chandler. That's not bad, you know, but what is Tyson Chandler's ceiling has been 19 points this year. You know, that's where you're at. That's it. That's what you're going to get. Tristan Thompson, I think, will be popular. Not for me. I don't like someone who doesn't have offensive upside, and his offensive game is brutal. It's brutal. That's it. That's it. I mean, you're going to have to limit yourself to one stud on this slate based on the fact that there's no value. So that said, let's go over to the FanDuel.com and let's see if we can find a lineup here. All right. So I think one of the things that we're going to have to think about is, you know, whether or not we get some value from some of these, you know, questionable tags in Memphis and stuff like that. If you get some value there against Atlanta, you're going to want to exploit it. You know, some Andrew Harrison, if Wayne Seldon is out, maybe some Andrew Harrison, you know, maybe some Dylan Brooks, that kind of stuff. But let's just assume that the injuries are kind of what they are for the moment. And we don't really have a good, you know, a good grip on what to expect. So I think you have to go a little bit more balanced. I think you have to be a little bit more careful in this situation. I think you have to, you know, try and take guys who are priced appropriately, aggressively, in good matchups. And for me, it's going to start with Kyle Lowry and Russ. I've liked the return that I get from both of those guys at those price points. I think Russ is just safe as far as an investment. You know, if there's more value at point guard, then I think we could go to it. You know, you have to think Tyler Ulis plays a lot of minutes, but then again, I have no idea what his situation is, why he didn't play in the last game, that kind of stuff. You have no way of projecting what his minutes are going to look like. So if he's in, like, that changes this whole slate. But, you know, and you could go to Isaiah Thomas in this situation. You know, no doubt about it. You could absolutely go to Isaiah Thomas. So let's say Kyle Lowry, Isaiah Thomas. I like Josh Hart at the price point. I think that's one risk that I'm willing to take in my lineup. And then shooting guard, it's hard, you know. Do you want to do James Harden? Do you want to do a Bradley Beal? Do you want to do a Klay Thompson? I think for me, I'm going to probably do a Klay because I think that there's some, he can be so tilting though. You know, like Klay gets you 26 and you're just like, Klay, why? You know, and that's a problem. So I don't necessarily know if I'm going to stick with him. But at small forward, I like TJ Warren. I like Mario Hezonja. I want to probably spend down at small forward tonight just because and I may spend up to Harden and shooting guard just because I don't really like it. At power forward, I think that one of the cheap guys that I do trust is Mbah Mute, who, you know, even with Eric Gordon back in the lineup, we'll probably play 30 minutes. 30 minutes in Mbah Mute at 4,300. Probably expect 20 points against Brooklyn. You know, they're that bad. You know, I think you could comfortably say that. He had 22 against Phoenix. It's not hard for him to score in those situations, so you like that. You know, I wish I could say Serge Ibaka was the play. I keep looking at 4,800, and I'm like, listen, if he gets 30 minutes in this situation, Serge is the play. He's been so bad lately, though, that it really feels like Casey doesn't trust him. You know, and it's hard to avoid. Is it something you want to take a risk on? Is it something you want to take a risk on in this spot? He only had 20 against them last time out anyway. So that's a little bit of a concern. That's where I'm at with Serge. It's power forward is rough. Power forward is rough, and which is why you maybe want to go to Draymond in this situation. But I think Draymond's hard to fit in. He's expensive. And then at center, you could go to anywhere between, you know, Capella to Steven Adams is kind of my range. Capella to Cantor, that's my range of guys. I like those guys. So let me give you, I just kind of rambled for a second there, but let me give you a little bit more of a precise version of what I'm doing here. Okay. Let's go to, hold on 1 second. Let's go Kyle Lowry, Russell Westbrook, Josh Hart. Small forward may have to be a double spend down, guys. It may have to be a double spend down. Unless we get some value at shooting guard, which I just don't trust any. I guess I could trust Courtney Lee at 5K. He's not bad. He had 20, but that's just still not much. There's not much there. J.R. Smith, I guess you could do. Let's do J.R. Smith. Let's see where we get with that. J.R. Smith. So Kyle Lowry, Russ, Josh Hart, J.R. Smith, Mario Hezonja. And then I actually now have a little bit of extra dough at small forward. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go Hezonja. I'm going to go John Simmons. Well, this is interesting. Now, this just got interesting. This just got really interesting. John Simmons, Paul George, Mbah Mute, Draymond, Steven Adams. So I'm really stacking up this OKC game. Now, do I have to have Paul George? Absolutely not. I don't have to have Paul George. In fact, I could go Hezonja and TJ Warren, and I like that. I like that a lot. You know, I can go Hezonja, TJ Warren, and then I can upgrade Steven Adams to Clint Capella, which I like a lot too. So Kyle Lowry, Russell Westbrook, Josh Hart, J.R. Smith, TJ Warren, Hezonja, and Mbah Mute, Draymond, Clint Capella. That's kind of fun too. Okay. Yeah. You know, we're going to need some news. We're going to be kind of twiddling our thumbs going, come on, somebody get ruled out. Somebody get ruled out. You know, that's where I'm at. And I think that you need the Memphis news. You need Tyler Ulis, anything about Tyler Ulis, like search Twitter for Tyler Ulis updates. Kyrie Irving said he's going to play. Giannis said he's going to play, by the way. I just got a couple things there. All right, guys. Hey, that is it for me. Good luck.